It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
That's right, the Weekend Report is on the radio, and we are glad that you have joined us once again here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here, my partner Chris Arps.
Hi, Tony.
Right there. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Great to see you, my friend.
I'm 6 feet above the ground. It's all good, brother. It's all good.
Are you 6 feet tall? I'm not sure I'm buying that.
5'8" and a half.
There you go. That's okay.
And a half.
That's, I understand it. The half is important.
It is important.
It's very important. Producer Ryan Wiggins, of course, is here as well. And we are starting the show. We're getting right into it.
There's
not wasting any time.
There's a lot to get into this week.
Not wasting any time. We've got a lot of great guests that are going to be joining us on the show today. And Virginia Kruta from the Daily Caller is here at the very beginning of the show and is going to spend most of this hour with us. So thank you so much for coming in.
Sure. Okay.
Great to see you.
Having me back in.
Yeah, you bet. So much to talk about, right? Let's just get right into it. Actually, I'll let you know, we do have Skip Weber's back. Weird News Challenge is going to be in the second hour. Our friend Burgess Owens.
Yes.
We haven't talked to Burgess in a couple
of
months.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I'd like to get his thoughts on Super Bowl and Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia.
Virginia. No, yeah, not Virginia Kruta.
Not
Virginia.
The state of Virginia.
Virginia.
And all the issues they are having right now. Can't wait to talk to Burgess.
I'd like to take this moment to let you know that I have never put on blackface.
No pictures are going to surface?
No.
Okay.
And I would like to let you guys know that we don't want to offend Virginia by calling them a state. They're a commonwealth.
Oh,
guys.
Very good. That's exactly right.
Since we're going full disclosure, I've been wearing blackface for 53 years, if you didn't notice. So let's just get it all out.
I have noticed that.
Let's get it all out on the table.
And it's made me quite uncomfortable. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Too bad of a job or what?
Ben Keithley is a Chesterfield councilman. He is going to be joining us a little bit later this hour. Can't wait to talk to him about city-county merger in Chesterfield. I've been impressed. I like what Chesterfield's doing. They are the ones that are really leading the charge of trying to create options for themselves as far as looking into what it would take to join up with St. Charles County and what it would take to join to become their own county. Many of us in the county are opposed to Better Together and this merger. But Chesterfield is really like trying to fix the problem while some of us are just more caught up with trying to stop Better Together. They're trying to come up with options that if Better Together goes through, what can we do about it?
I think Chesterfield is basically saying uh-uh.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us are saying uh-uh. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm also going to be officially submitting fluorescent application to Chesterfield County.
Okay.
If they are able to pull that off. I don't know. We don't touch each other, but we'll figure out a way to make that work. Clean Missouri passed.
Exactly.
We'll figure out a way to create some kind of border that touches Chesterfield with fluorescent. Anyway, so it's going to be a great show. Don't go anywhere. Right now, let's get into the weekend review and we'll start with Virginia.
Virginia.
We'll start with Virginia.
Not Kruta.
You know what?
No.
Let's get your thoughts, Chris. How offended are you? Seriously, how offended are you as a black guy when you see a picture of somebody like Governor Northam in blackface from 30 years ago?
Personally, to me, it doesn't offend me in the least. My skin is a little thicker than that. So when I hear the NAACP and all the civil rights organizations say that black people are hurt and, you know, we can barely live because of this, I think that's a little overboard. The thing for me, what I'm enjoying the most is, you know, the Democratic Party upholds themselves as the party of diversity and tolerance, and the Republican Party, the party of the racist and all that. And I'm just enjoying just seeing the sheer hypocrisy play out on the stage right now with Governor Northam, with the lieutenant governor, with the attorney general, all of them having their own little things going on, dealing with what's in the wheelhouse of the Democrats, which is the Me Too movement and race. To see them caught up in that whole web of their own making is just delicious to me.
Should that governor, should they lose their job? for that?
Well, you know, I'm always leery in those type of situations to call for someone's resignation in a state or jurisdiction that I don't live in. I think that is something that the people of Virginia have to decide. Like I said, personally, for me, it doesn't upset me, even if I live in Virginia. But I think that's up to the people of Virginia and ultimately the Democratic Party to decide should these men still be in their leadership positions.
Virginia, what do you think of Virginia?
all right. Well, you know, I think that you made an you know, you kind of offhand mentioned that this was 30 years ago. And this is the thing that I have an issue with, is that people are being held to today's standard for imagined crimes that they committed decades ago. Now, I'm not saying that blackface is not offensive now or that it isn't offensive 30 years ago. I think that, I mean, I was around 30 years ago and it never would have occurred to me to do that.
Right.
But I also lived in St. Louis.
Right.
Which is a very different culture than Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you always have to look at the motive. And it's very difficult to determine motives 30 years back. But if they're telling the truth and they're saying, hey, I went to a party and I dressed as Michael Jackson, that's a lot less offensive on the grand scale, regardless of who you are, as let me see how I can make fun of the black people today.
Right.
You know, there's a very different mentality behind those two things. Like, I want to do the best costume I can versus I'm intentionally trying to marginalize an entire group of people.
Right.
So I think you have to consider that. But to me, I mean, the outrage over this really has to be put in context with the comments, especially from Northam last week, regarding late term abortion and basically infanticide. To me, and I realize that I'm not black, so I can't really speak to this. I know, right? Right? So I can't speak to this from a very personal perspective, but to me, what he may have done, even if his intent was to make fun of African Americans, even if that's what the entire point was, to marginalize an entire race of people, it's still far more offensive to me that several days ago he was actively justifying infanticide.
Yeah.
Because it's the disparity there. It's I mentioned it when I was talking to Tony prior to coming in here today. The disparity was illustrated with the Covington kids too. Because after it came out that what happened wasn't what happened and it wasn't just a couple of kids making fun of a Native American, even if it was, their imagined sin was that they made fun of someone. And the immediate response was to wish violence upon them. And when people apologized, they apologized for jumping the gun. They apologized for reacting too quickly. None of them apologized for thinking violence was a reasonable response to making fun of someone.
Yeah, and I'm not done with Covington. I want to get into Covington with you in just a little bit.
Before you start, I want to piggyback on Virginia's point. I agree that I think we have to make the distinction when we're talking about these blackface incidents between someone that's dressing up as Michael Jackson or as a rapper to try to, you know, imitate someone, to someone putting on blackface and acting like Al Jolson or acting like some caricature of a
menstrual show. Sure.
I think that you have to make that difference. And the way things are going right now, I mean, I could literally see some kid in the 70s wearing some Halloween mask that's a black person or something. So now they're going to, that's how far back we're going now. We're looking at high school yearbooks. Now we're going to look at Halloween pictures from someone in the 70s wearing a black person Halloween mask. And now that's going to be offensive and your parents are racist for making you wear this mask. I mean, that's how ridiculous this is getting.
Right. And the point that I've been trying to make is we've got to come up with a standard punishment, if you want to use the word punishment, because I can't understand why we look at some people like Governor Northam. As much as I don't like anything that I've learned about this guy in the last few weeks, it's still, you can't say that he did this and that means his career is over and he should lose his job. But other people that we have known footage of being in blackface, like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and Joy Behar, all these people that did exactly the same thing.
Sarah Silverman did it too.
Yeah, yeah. There's the list is endless, and they're just okay. They're okay. So some people have done it and they're okay, and some people have done it and it's supposed to be the end of their professional life.
It's sheer hypocrisy, but in a sense, it's kind of bringing us back to the middle of normalcy where you can laugh at stuff like that, where you know that it's not meant to be offensive. It's meant to be funny. You know,
right.
I don't – Jimmy Kimmel and Joy Behar dressing up in blackface and doing what they did does not offend me. But
right.
if they were in blackface and they were talking like this and all, you know, and all like that, then yes.
Right.
I mean, that's why you have to make that distinction. I mean, because the Democrats have gone down this revisionist history trap, they're getting caught in it themselves.
Right. We might get back to this in a little bit, but I want to get into a couple of the other things that happened this week. State of the Union, obviously, big deal. Chris and I were here at the radio station until midnight that night, a little bit later than midnight, actually.
I wasn't invited.
Covering that. But I bet you were watching.
I was. Yes, I was. So, and honestly, it was good that I wasn't here. I had a couple of great articles go out that night.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. Make sure you go and check those out on the Daily Caller. What was your overall reaction to the president's performance?
I enjoyed the speech. I liked, but to me, I mean, and this is kind of sad that you kind of come at it from this perspective when you've been covering media like this for so long. I wasn't watching President Trump so much as I was watching the reactions of the people in the gallery. And to me, that really told the story of where we are. And it does every year. It tells you exactly where we are as a country. Who's divided? Who's willing to come together? Who's going to, you know, sit, cross their arms and look like, you know, what they're eating is sour when the president says, hey, let's ban abortions after the infant can feel pain. You know, it's stuff like that. So you see, and you see a line.
He gets hissed at by a few people for saying that.
You see a line of, and this is what offends me personally. And, you know, obviously I'm not going to go legislate based on this, but what really hits me personally is to see women looking like that. When it's not, because when you, if you've ever had a child, I realize you have not, not physically yourself.
Right. No, I have not.
But to have been pregnant and understand what it feels like, and know that, I mean, you can, when the baby is big enough, you can poke your belly and they'll react.
Right.
You know, they feel what you're doing.
Right.
So to understand that fetus is capable of feeling pain and understand that there are women who are arguing it for it to be legal to terminate that life. That's frustrating to me.
And they make it a personal women's issue.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you are against abortion, then you are somehow taking away the rights of a woman in their eyes. And I just I can't make that connection.
And these are women that essentially hate men and believe that men are trying to control their bodies. That's the only way you have to have that mindset in order to so cavalierly murder something like you were saying that you can feel in your belly and can see it poking around. It has to be an underlying deeper thing than that.
To your point about the reactions in the house, as Chris knows, because we were watching the speech together, I left the studio where we were watching it on the television for a good 20, 25 minutes and just went and listened to it on the radio in my office because I found myself so distracted by Nancy Pelosi and her menus as she's shuffling her menus and she's...
Somebody really should have memed that. Like, what is Nancy Pelosi writing?
Yeah.
What is she reading? What's on those cards?
It was just so...
I saw it once. Somebody said how to apply Fixident.
She's making faces. No. She's shuffling her papers. She's trying to look disinterested. She obviously lost track of what was going on a couple of times.
Right.
And then they're panning, like you mentioned, they're panning to the crowd and you're getting all these mean mugs from the. So I wanted to see what the, if there was a markable difference between watching it on television and listening to it on the radio. And there was.
Yeah.
Because when I was listening to it on the radio, I was focused solely on what the president was saying and the message that he was delivering.
Right.
And I wasn't distracted by all. What did you think of Nancy's performance over the president's shoulder?
Well, no, I noticed some of that, too. I didn't. It wasn't as distracting to me because I was working at the same time. So I was kind of watching out of the corner of my eye more than watching. But, yeah, I definitely noticed that she seemed to be. But what's
putting
really
on her own show.
What's really what interesting is you watch her in comparison with Mike Pence, who is the king of the poker face.
Right.
I honestly think that was part of the reason that that President Trump selected him as VP, because it didn't matter what outlandish thing he popped off, Pence is just going to sit there.
Yes. Stoic. Yes.
And I love it. It's great watching him in comparison with whoever's next, because you know they're going to react more than he does.
Right. Chris, if that would have been any, if that would have been any Republican, any pick any Republican.
Yes. Is this a flip test?
Yeah. Any Republican.
Well, this is Tony.
Secretary of State over the head of a Speaker of the House, over the shoulder of President Barack Obama. Would that have not been the biggest story of the whole?
It would have been a big story. It would have been
equal, doing the exact behavior.
Yeah, it would have been equal to when the congressman jumped up and said, "You lie."
Yeah,
they would have said that it was on the level of that same level of disrespect.
Yeah,
that here's the president. They would have drawn. They would have drawn attention to him.
Yep, they would have drawn it all the way from disrespect, and they're not paying attention to him, and they're probably not paying attention to him because he's black, so the guy's racist.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have literally connected all those dots. And if somebody on the Republican side would have done the exact same behavior.
I'm going to tell you why it didn't bother me as much, though.
Go ahead.
Because I wasn't expecting, I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting any civility from Nancy Pelosi.
Sure.
Democrats.
No, that's
so
true.
Her doing
we
that,
were all
like,
wondering
yeah,
what she was
what I was expecting.
That's so true. All right, we got to take a break, but Virginia Cruda is going to stay with us, so don't go anywhere. Plenty more to talk about on the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. To the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Ryan Wiggins in studio, and Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller has been kind enough to join us for the beginning of this first hour. Virginia is, I don't even know if this is a story. You tell me. Elizabeth Warren, I can't decide if this Elizabeth Warren thing is a big deal or if it's not a big deal, if it's a big story or not. Is it something that we care about? Is it something you've been...
Which? That
she put the Native American thing on her bar application and obviously has been lying about this
she's
for years.
She's a distraction. It doesn't... I don't think it matters because she's the distraction. Kamala Harris is the...
Yeah.
She's the one that the Democrats are going to rally behind.
Yeah.
Warren's not going to get the kind of support that she needs.
Right.
She said, I think earlier, that she was going to make an announcement this weekend. Another announcement. And I assume since the first announcement was her exploratory committee, I assume that she's going to say yes or no, I am going to run. Yeah. Or, you know, she is, right?
I don't know.
Aren't they all running?
I just assume they're all running.
If she values the health of her party, she will bow out now.
I don't think she does.
But I think she values her own career more, which is what's exemplified in the fact that she said, well, I never used it to get ahead, but clearly she has, right. As far as her ethnicity and or lack thereof.
Right. Do you agree with Chris that Kamala Harris is the most dangerous of the Democratic?
I think dangerous. She's the... front runner.
Yeah, well, that she's the most she's the most difficult to defeat.
Yes.
Is that's what you have said, right? Do you
I think that that is true with one caveat. President Donald Trump does not give a rip about whether or not she I mean,
whether or not she's a minority or she's a woman or whatever. Yeah.
Right. He campaigned against Hillary, and because he was an unconventional candidate.
And I think the Democrats are great at...
There are some who do, but I think that, especially after the Hillary Clinton campaign, I think that people are starting to see... But Kamala Harris concerns me for a number of reasons, but her being a formidable opponent is not the primary there. I have issues with things that she said during the Gorsuch confirmation. She asked him questions about a particular case. I don't remember the case, so I'm not going to bring that up. But she was asking Gorsuch a series of questions about this case, and then brought up her concern at the end was that he had valued the letter of the law more highly than the feelings of the people involved. And my immediate question was, does she not know what a judge is supposed to do?
Right.
Because if that's it, and that right there is an indication that every judge she selects will be an activist.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot have that mentality and promote a reasonable judiciary.
Yeah.
You can't do
right.
it.
Right. I feel like that's what you're going to get from all of them right now. I mean, there's levels of extreme on, and I think she's up there.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're going to, you know, the Republicans are going to be battling that.
Yeah.
No matter who the person is. I want to get back to Covington for a minute. We talked a little bit about that in the last segment. What are your thoughts of the kid now? I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Nick Sandman.
Sandman. That's it. I was thinking Sandlock, and I knew that was wrong.
No.
I was saying, I hit in my head Sandlock, and I was like, that's not right. They're keeping this story alive now by, you know, it appears they're putting together a libel case against many in the media, celebrities, people in the government. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I think it's surprising that this is the first time that really anybody's attempted to do something like this, when I think other people have been justified and if they would have tried it in the past. What are your thoughts overall on the Covington situation and then this apparent libel case that the kids' lawyers are putting together?
Well, again, I think that... The issue is the fact that we're in a 24-hour news cycle and everyone's a journalist and no one stops to think about who might get hurt if you don't get all the information. Or they don't care who might get hurt if you don't get all the information.
Because they want a story.
One of the lawsuits was one of the people named in the upcoming lawsuits was actress Alyssa Milano, who has spoken out. She was actively campaigning against Kavanaugh. She's been speaking out on Capitol Hill for the Equal Rights Amendment, which we could talk a whole hour on that. but she was named because she was the one who tweeted how the red hat was the new white hood.
Yeah, the MAGA hat. The MAGA hat is the new white hood.
Mm-hmm. And a number of people followed suit, basically saying that these kids knew what they were getting into when they put those hats on. And, of course, the immediate response is, so the girl in the short skirt deserved to be assaulted, right?
Right.
Because it's the same logic. It's the same progression.
Sure.
If you can be... And the problem is that so many people in media... They weren't mad that Nick Sandman might have made fun of a Native American. They weren't mad that he smirked. They were mad because he had on the MAGA hat. And they were already predisposed to believe that he was capable of doing those things. And so they didn't need to look for the rest of the video because it was already obvious he was guilty. And so that's the issue there, right there, is that, and again, that making fun of someone is somehow deserving of violence is the other part of that, which we were talking about earlier. But I do think that he definitely has ground to stand on as far as filing the lawsuit. If not just to say that, hey, if you can't judge the woman wearing the slutty clothes, then you can't judge us either.
Chris, do you think he's making himself look bad by keeping this story alive, or do you think it's about time somebody at least threatened to scare some of these people that name call and put labels on people on social media and on the internet, obviously, before they even know the whole story, that this is maybe could be a wake-up call for some of this. Is it a positive or a negative thing?
A positive thing, and I think this case is going to be a precedent-setting case because usually it is hard to sue for libel. But I think the thing that makes these kids have a great case is, one, they're kids and they're juveniles, and they were defaming and libeling them. And I watched one of their attorneys, I think he was a Kentucky attorney, that cited a specific Kentucky law about libeling someone that's a juvenile or a child. So I think they've got a very good case. I think it's not going to completely tame the media, of course, because they're out of control. But I think once you start getting into the pockets of these media companies and some of these celebrities and the publicity that goes along with that, could maybe stop a little bit of this.
Yeah. Virginia, in the next segment, we are going to be talking to a Chesterfield councilman, Ben Keithley from Chesterfield, about the city-county merger situation. That's something you and I have never had a chance to talk about. What are your thoughts on the whole better together city-county merger? Is it something that you're in favor of or opposed to?
Well, okay, I don't, full disclosure, I don't live in the city or the county. I live in Illinois, but my mom and my sister both live in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they like their property values where they are.
Yeah, right.
Without getting too into the weeds, it's not a move to make anything better unless you're talking about the financial stability of the city that is hemorrhaging money because it's paying out.
Yeah.
Basically what's happened is they've overtaxed the city to the point where people are leaving it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so now they don't have enough people to collect taxes from.
Right.
They need more bodies.
They're losing money.
And they're
going to
do it by moving into the county. And that's not, it's always the same thing. You do not have a revenue problem. You have a spending problem.
Right.
And the city is a good example of that. And they really just, they're trying to export it to the county, and it's not good for the county. Ultimately, it's not good for the city because it gives positive reinforcement to bad behavior.
Yeah,
and it just encourages them
to
keep
doing. It's a bailout.
Yeah, it is in other terms, but yeah,
right.
That would be my assessment is that they're basically trying to bilk the county for what they can't afford.
Right. Lyda Crucian, I thought, showed her hand. A news story that I did a couple days ago, can't remember. they all blend together.
Yeah,
at this
it all
point.
Blends together.
But when she was asked I've written 18 several times, so you know I'm not even sure about that sometimes. But you know, this new county is going to be this big, you know, if it exists, or this new city, excuse me, if it exists, it's going to be this big old circle. And she's already said that. Of course, downtown St. Louis should be where the capital of this new city, where the government seat should be. So, you know, she's obviously more worried about what is happening in the downtown area and what is now the city area than anywhere else. If she's already made up her mind that we can't even put the seat somewhere in the middle, you know, of the whole thing. We're out of time. Virginia Cruda, thank you so much for your time.
Sure.
People want to read your work, follow you on social media. How can they do all those things?
I'm at VA Cruda on Twitter, and you can find my articles at thedailycaller.com.
And I strongly recommend that you and you check it out. I thought you were giving me the... I thought I got the wrap up, and now I'm getting that you still have a man.
Yeah.
Well, I recommend
I can repeat it.
Highly that you go and you follow Virginia on Twitter, and definitely go and check out those articles on the Daily Caller. No, I don't even
now,
know. I don't even know what the signals mean anymore.
I think when it's counterclockwise.
Steel third. I think I just got the
steel third
the
sign. I like
the
that.
Bunt sign. Yeah.
If you want, Chris can just play air harmonica for the
there you go. There
next
you go.
30 seconds
yeah.
if you want
yeah.
to.
But in all seriousness, Daily Caller, Virginia's articles are awesome. And if you want to keep yourself up to date and up to speed on what's happening, it's a great way to do so. So go and check those out. All right, we are going to take a break now. And when we get back, we're going to talk to Ben Keithley, Chesterfield councilman, going to get his thoughts on Chesterfield's push to either create their own county or join up with St. Charles County, all in order to avoid this Better Together situation. So don't go anywhere. We'll talk to Councilman Ben Keithley next on the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Said I miss you. Hello and welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Ryan Wiggins, of course, in studio. And now joining us in studio is Ben Keithley, a Chesterfield councilman. And it's very nice to meet you. And thanks for coming in the studio. How are you?
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. It's great to be here with you guys.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. So obviously, I mean, we can get right into it here. City-county merger has been on everybody's mind.
Right.
And you guys out in Chesterfield have, I think, been brilliant in taking a proactive approach to the whole situation. There's many of us out in the county that don't like this idea of city-county merger, and many of us are just complaining about it. Right. You guys are trying to put together a plan to save, or to, you know, just to avoid being a part of this by either joining St. Charles County or becoming your own county. Talk about some of the discussions that you guys have had out there in Chesterfield.
So, in terms of, you know, in things that we're going to do going forward to kind of combat this thing and what alternative options are, we're at the early stages of that. The main thing right now is, do we have alternative options? We want alternative options. You can't just sit around and let other things happen to you and wait and see what direction, you know, the city's going to take us.
Right.
As more and more details have come out, first it was their 160-page report, and then now we have the actual petition with the language they want to put on the ballot, and it looks more and more problematic for the region as a whole as more details come out about Better Together's plan. And we just, you can sit there waiting to see what happens and letting what looks more and more like a takeover just happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be proactive, like you said. I think that's the good word to describe it. We don't know what we're going to do at this point. We don't know, but we want to know what the options are.
Yeah, I love it.
We want to have answers for residents and, you know, what else can we do rather than just sit here and let this thing happen?
Sure. Chris?
You know, it's been about probably 150 plus years since the last time Missouri created a new county, or one was created. What is the process would Chesterfield go through to create a county?
You know, and that's the exact answer that we've asked for at this point. You know, I didn't know what the answer is to that question. Sure. I've been asked that question by enough of my constituents who have said when Better Together was kind of in the works before the report came out, it was people quietly talked about it. You know, it's like, well, you know, What if we did this? I think what really set off the conversation about, you know, a potential Chesterfield County was, you know, was about 4 or 5 years ago. The mayor, who was then mayor, then also Bob Nation, had made a comment about it, and his was kind of more of an offhand in regard to tax pool legislation that had nothing to do with necessarily with a merger or anything. But that's always kind of stuck in the back of some constituents and residents' minds, and so people have asked about it, and I didn't have an answer. Mm-hmm. You know, there's clearly some process that's been done before.
Sure.
You know, we weren't always, you know, whatever it is, 114 counties that we have. And I don't know what the exact number is, but it's around that. But we didn't always have that many. There's been new counties being created. So there must be some process.
Yep.
I want to know what that is.
Right. Yep. You got another one?
I did. And
go ahead.
I completely forgot it.
I got plenty. So we've talked to the mayor of Ferguson, James Knowles, been on this show many times.
Right.
Tim Lowry, who is the chief of police of Florissant and probably going to be the mayor of Florissant this year. He's running for mayor. And that's where I live, up in Florissant. Mm-hmm. And all these leaders have expressed their desire to not be a part of this Better Together yes. program. Can you talk about some of the things that you guys out there in Chesterfield, what are the reasons that you feel Better Together is not the right thing for your region?
You know, I think the reason, you know, it's the same as what a lot of people are articulating. And the general reason is government is best and most responsive to people when it's local. People want their local government. They want to be able to control. And I think in Chesterfield, that's incredibly apparent. Just in the couple years I've been on the council, mm-hmm. we've had no shortage of high-density development issues, zoning issues that have come in, you know, high-rise apartments, high-density apartments, car washes, you name it, whatever comes in that are being proposed near neighborhoods. And these have sparked a lot, you know, to the point where we have a lot of controversy, where we have 300 plus people who are pouring into City Hall for planning commission and city council meetings to figure out what's going on with these proposals. And you know, I think the biggest thing is the difference that you're going to see if we go to a Better Together plan is these people who right now are coming into Chesterfield City Hall to talk about a development plan that's going to exist right next to their home. Now, instead of going around the block to City Hall to talk to council members who live in their community and have a stake in the community, they have to come all the way downtown, 30, 40 minutes away, to talk to this board of 33 people, none of which live in the community, or, well, I guess presumably one of which will live in their community, and no one else, and 17 people out of 33 who have no say in the community, no standing in the community, no part in that community mm-hmm. necessarily, are going to be able to shove developments down these neighbors' and residents' throats.
Yeah, amen.
I remembered.
Go ahead.
Is there any part of the plan that you personally support or folks on the council support? Is there any parts of it that you like?
And I mean, I can't speak for the other council members mm-hmm. on the council. I can only speak for myself. I think there are goals of the plan that mm-hmm. I certainly support. I want to see the region succeed as a whole.
Sure.
I don't think this plan really does anything to fix what the real problems are in the city. Like, you look at the consolidation issue. They say that the big thing proponents of the plan say, and the Better Together board says, is, well, we have too many municipalities. We need to consolidate. But then they don't actually eliminate a single one of the municipalities. They just take all the power away from them, but let them keep their council, let them keep their mayors. And that it doesn't say, well, what are you really trying to accomplish then?
Yeah.
So, I think the idea of consolidation could be good for the community, but you can't just eliminate everything either.
Right.
You know, there are cities that are doing a really good job. Mm-hmm. There are cities that are standing on their own two feet, not just Chesterfield. You know, Florissant is the largest city right now in St. Louis County. It's going to continue to be one of the largest cities. They're a self-sufficient community, mm-hmm. just like Chesterfield is.
Yeah.
And that's why you're seeing opposition
and we like it that way.
In places like Ferguson and Florissant as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these are communities that have well built up. And in the case of Florissant, you have a very historic community. Mm-hmm. It's one of the oldest municipalities mm-hmm. west of the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
And to just come in and start eliminating and taking power away from places like that is not the right idea. Consolidation might be good, but you got to be smart about how you go about it. There's specific proposals that, you know, that I think they're onto the right track. Mm-hmm. I think the municipal court system in St. Louis County is way out of control and leads to a lot of problems in our criminal justice system. And I'd like to see more done with that. I don't know that just eliminating everything again mm-hmm. is the right answer.
Sure.
This really is a sledgehammer to where, you know, to where you need to hammer down individual nails.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Ben Keithley, councilman in Chesterfield, about the Better Together city-county merger situation. So the way I understand it is that you guys have directed people there in Chesterfield, staff members in the mm-hmm. City government, to look into not only becoming your own county and what it takes, what are the answers of that, but also looking into the possibility of joining up with St. Charles County, which you share a border with. Have you heard from your constituents or from other people in your meetings, other people on the council? Is there a preference of those two, or is it just let's figure out what it takes to do either one, and then we'll decide which one?
I think I've heard opinions all over the board on this. I think we're just too early to know which even looks better. I don't know if Chesterfield, you know, once we find out what the process is, we also have to look at if it's a viable option. You know,
right.
Could Chesterfield exist as its own county, and you don't want to repeat mistakes that have been made by other municipalities without naming names
right.
that have broken off from their counties.
Right.
And
right.
so So I think, you know, we want to be smart about how we go about that and see, and, you know, whether it makes more sense to be our own, whether it makes more sense to stay within the framework, whether it makes more sense to join another existing county such as St. Charles mm-hmm. County. The process might be easier for one of those. The process might and one might be a better option than another. We have to see what that is. I will say that I think overwhelmingly what I've heard from my constituents is join St. Charles County, create your own county, stay within St. Louis County somehow. The one thing we can't have is the better together proposal.
Right. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm sure you guys are aware of this, if you guys somehow are able to create your own county immediately. A lot of the neighboring municipalities to you are going to say, well, now, wait a minute, we want to be in Chesterfield County. And you could see Chesterfield County growing much bigger, or at least people wanting Chesterfield County to grow much bigger than just the city limits of Chesterfield now, because I think other people will see that as a better option.
And I think what you do hit on the head right there is this idea, and what the whole point of this study is really, is options. We're not saying we're going to do this. It's saying, but I think, you know, the whole point of local government is giving people options and what kind of community they want to live in. I think people have a right to determine what kind of community they want to live mm-hmm. in. And in terms of, you know, planning issues, their police protection, how nice their roads and how well and often they're going to be upkept. All these things are things that should be determined locally. Yeah. And we're just trying to provide people with options. And I think, you know, I think other cities jump on and see that Chesterfield's looking at other options, and it gets them thinking, well, you know, maybe there are some other choices here. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, believe it or not, Florissant borders St. Charles County. People don't realize that, but we do. And trust me, if you guys figure that out, I'm going to be the one pushing that we do the exact same thing. We're almost out of time.
No, go ahead.
All right, I just want to give Ben an opportunity to talk about, obviously you're working on a lot more things than just the city-county merger issue. That's just kind of the thing dominating the headlines right now. If people want to, especially people listening that live out in Chesterfield, if people want to keep up with you and things happening in the city and your progress on this issue and others, do you have website, social media, anything?
Yeah, absolutely. You can always follow me on Twitter at Ben Keith. Just drop the Lee off the name. That's K-E-A-T-H is Keith, Ben Keith. And then my website is benkeithley.com. And then, you know, right now, Chesterfield has a lot of important stuff and, you know, not just anything to do with Better Together. Sure. We still have to continue on with our plan. And a big portion of that is revitalizing our own urban core. We're at kind of a transitionary period as we continue to develop our urban core and city center around and for the next economic phase of what our city is going to be.
Good stuff. That is Chesterfield Councilman Ben Keithley. Ben, I hope you come back and as this story develops and keep us posted on what you guys are finding out there in Chesterfield, because I think you guys are leading the way as far as trying to come up with, like you said, options for people that are not necessarily thrilled with the Better Together.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm encouraged to see more and more of communities in St. Louis County stepping out and saying, no, we don't want this. We want to keep control over our local government.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
That's Ben Keithley, Chesterfield Councilman. We got to take a break. When we get back, hour number two of the Weekend Report starts with our old friend Burgess Owens.
Burgess.
Can't wait to talk to Burgess. Don't miss it. It's next on the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1.
Time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
And it's hour number two of the Weekend Report on your radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with Chris Arps and producer Ryan Wiggins. And what a great first hour we just wrapped up. If you missed any of it, don't forget you can always go to our website, 971talk.com. You can click on podcast. You'll see all the shows here on the station. You can download the podcast or listen to the podcast right there for free. Or even better, go to your app store or your Google Play store and download the radio.com app. Radio.com app is free. Once you have it, you favorite our radio station, and you can stream it, and you can, again, download all the podcasts from all the shows here on the station absolutely free, just a tap of your finger. So if you miss anything here on the Weekend Report, any of the great interviews that we had last hour with Chesterfield Councilman Ben Keithley or Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller who was in, you can always go back and catch those. Or if you just want to hear them again, you can do that as well. And here's an interview that you definitely don't want to miss and probably want to hear twice. I should say Skip Weber is here. Skip Weber's
early.
You're early. Yeah. And I appreciate it. Yeah. Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet, of course, is here. The Weird News Challenge with Trish Gazelle is coming up in the next segment. Skip is here for that. And great to have him in studio for this interview as well, as we are joined on the phone by our old friend Burgess Owen, Super Bowl champion, best-selling author, and friend of the show. Burgess, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. How are you?
I am doing great, Tony, and it's good to talk with you, Chris, and Skip again, and look forward to our chat. And again, it's always a pleasure to catch up with my old buddies.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for the time. First of all, how's the book doing? You've got Why I Stand is the latest book that you've written. I know we're past that sort of initial push and promotion that you do every time, you know, anybody that writes a book, they go on a big tour and they promote the heck out of it. But just because that phase of the book is over with doesn't mean it's not too late to go out and grab it. How are things going, and what's been the feedback from the new book?
Well, the great thing is that the message is timeless, because it's Why I Stand from the freedom to the killing fields of socialism. And now we're in a very good conversation about socialism, aren't we, buddy? Aren't we, guys? It's a timely conversation. It's a time for us as a country to know that we are up against a very evil ideology. I'm thankful we have a president who recognizes that, and he made a very bold statement, which I agree, that we're a country that was born free and we'll stay free, and we're not going to let socialism take our freedoms away. So it's still very topical, and I think it'll be important for people to realize that this idea of socialism is not new. It's been tried and failed throughout the last century, and all it leaves back behind it is misery. So mm-hmm. I kind of talk about that and how that's impacted out my race in particular.
Burgess, we had a Super Bowl about a week and a half ago, and there was some controversy. A lot of entertainment acts didn't want to perform because of all the stuff that was going on with Colin Kaepernick and the league the last few years. But superstar Gladys Knight performed a magnificent, a truly magnificent rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. Talk about that a little bit, and talk about her courage to buck the trend of protesting the country and the Super Bowl because you're black, and for her just to stand up and say, you know, I'm going to do this.
Well, I tell you, that was the one thing I wanted to make sure. If I saw nothing else, I wanted to see that, and she came through big time. Not only did she share her heart with us, I think that was a moment that we recognized that was the old NFL. The old NFL for all of us was, no matter what our policies were, our politics, we came together as one, and we rooted for our teams that had a great time together. She brought together that memory of what it was that we sat, we stood, and we shed a tear for the greatness of our country. She just does a fantastic job. I think the other thing about this is we have to understand that we have an ideology out there, this socialist Marxist. They're nothing but cowards and bullies. I remember Don Lemon doing a interview with Gladys afterwards, asking her if she was afraid of losing her fan base. And it's interesting that we now have the question,
Gladys,
somebody's singing the national anthem with all heart and soul, people standing, feeling proud again, and we're worried about people losing their missing up their careers. And that's really where we've come to. We have a group of people out there that are truly bullies. And that's where it has always been. They used to hide behind the white hoods. They now hide behind the black mask. And they hide behind these this process of having our kids believe they cannot stand and have a conversation and do it the way we always had done in the past. Agree to disagree and move forward, but yet respect each other's opinion. So I was just very happy to see what she did. I'm proud of her. And proud of that moment that we all shared, and watching those planes fly over, and just feeling just a deep sense of excitement about our country. So I was glad to see that.
Burgess, can the league get back to the old NFL like you just spoke about, or has politics and, the temperature of society taken the game too far away from what it used to be?
No, the league could get there if they wanted to, but we have leadership. Understand, we're not here by accident. These guys, the NFL, the owners and the person who has this, Goodell, they could have stopped this 2 or 3 years ago, but they didn't want to. They wanted to bring this ideology, this globalist that they have. They wanted to bring this to the point of actually allowing us to have to be divided as we are today. Keep in mind, the marketing arm of the NFL today, which is run by Nike, is now the face of a Marxist. Colin Kaepernick, a guy who cannot stand up and articulate his thoughts, what it is about our country that he wants to change, and does nothing but go around and continue to push out this propaganda that our country is a racist country. That is the face of the NFL today. So I think it would be good if we can bring it back to those days of Al Davis and Pete Bozell, but it would come down to change the leadership of the NFL. One little note, guys, that I think that a lot of people don't recognize. The NFL spent $90 million in social justice causes. By the way, social justice is nothing but socialism and Marxism. If you look at the organizations that support this, we need economic justice, by the way, which is free enterprise, free enterprise and education. But at the end of the day, they have $50 million they put into this Players Coalition. If you look into what's behind the Players Coalition, it's first of all not a not-for-profit. It's under the Hopewell Fund, which is the NFL not-for-profit. It's not run by black players. It's five players voting, five NFL owners voting, and then two NFL employees voting. So 7-5, the players have no say at all in what's going to be pushed, what's being paid, and if they're going to pay it at all. It's still run by the owners, and that's the way these guys do it, behind the curtains.
You know, Burgess, you know, we got to touch on the Virginia and the blackface controversy a little bit. You know, we're both African-American men. Tell me this. Should there be a distinction made between a white person that's putting on blackface in a minstrel type of fashion and a white person that's putting on blackface to imitate Michael Jackson or Diana Ross, you know, as entertainment at a Halloween party or something? Should there be the same consequences for those two actions?
You know what? I grew up down south, deep south Tallahassee, Florida. I grew up when I was around a lot of racism. And what I've come to understand because of it was 40, 50 years ago, that people change. This is the country's second chances. I've had people that I did not get along with back in the 10th grade that are some of my best friends on Facebook because we grew up. And what we have to understand as a country is that the leftists will continue to try to find every way they can to divide us. Yes, there are going to be people who made very gross, bad mistakes years and years ago. I did. Everyone listening to it have made mistakes. At the end of the day, have we changed? Are we now doing things that's going to support our country moving forward as a unified country, or we're not? And I think the conversation should not be about the black face. But what about the abortion of our babies? Mm. We have 80% of black babies being aborted, 20 million black babies since 1973. That's 40% of our race, the black race. That's called genocide. Let's have conversations about that. Let's have conversations about what happens when a baby is born and then allowed to die. That's called murder and infanticide. We're talking about something that's so nonsensical when it comes that down to it, as opposed to things that are very substantive, which is the understanding that our race has been attacked and for the last 100 years by the Democratic Party. So let's look at those policies that's keeping our kids not hopeful, out of jobs, not educated, and then, of course, the babies the innocent babies that are not being allowed to live. Those are the conversations I think we should be having, and not these things that really, at the end of the day, just don't really make a whole lot of difference.
Talking to Super Bowl champion and best-selling author Burgess Owens, the new book, Why I Stand, is available now. Go out and get it, Burgess. We've talked a lot on this show about, believe it or not, the 2020 presidential race is starting now. We're there. We're to that point. A lot of Democrats are announcing that their candidacy, and we expect many, many more to come. And Chris and I have talked on this show about different Democratic politicians. Of course, there are people of there are minorities and black people running for the Democrats, like Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. You and I have talked, Burgess, about the inroads that the Republicans under Donald Trump has made, not with just the black community, but in many minority communities. Are those inroads enough, you think, to overcome if it's Kamala Harris, for example, a black female running for president? Trump's got to go a long way to try to get any percentage of that black vote. Do you think he's made enough inroads that that it'll have an effect on the election?
It's already happening. See, what we have to understand is that people feel their pocketbooks. They feel hope. They understand when somebody's finally given an opportunity to take their kids and have an education. But the greatest thing about this Tuesday talk by President Trump is there are people who have in the past not heard those facts and figures about how well the black community is doing, Asian and Hispanics and veterans. They have not heard of success because they listen to stations and the propaganda that does not want to let people hear the success. When they sit down and they see these black people sitting on their hands with all the success going on in our community, they understand who's for them and who's not. We have 16% of black men at the very beginning for candidate Trump that worked for candidate Trump that's now close to 36% of black Americans now are beginning to understand there's something about this president that he might not say things the way Obama did, but he's getting results, and that's what it's all about. I personally believe that we're at a point where the black community is waking up. We're going to be the community that truly begins to go back to voting our values and principles first, and not only pull our race back from this abyss, but pull our country back. And that's why the left has to have open borders. They're recognizing that they can no longer depend on blacks voting with our skin. We're voting our values and principles, and we're looking up at God and saying, if we vote for him, then everything else will be taken care of. And once that happens, the leftist has to replace us with illegal foreigners. And that's what they're in the process of doing. So I feel very optimistic. I think at the end of the day, we just continue to have success, and people feel the success of our policies, and we're going to bring, again, our country back by continue to vote for a president that's actually for the American people and not for all the other stuff that the leftists have been doing over the years.
Burgess, this is Chris. You played Division I big-time college football. You played in the NFL for a number of years. You're a Super Bowl champion. So you know a little bit about the league and about football and everything. Explain to us how in the world, in the time of football where you have salary caps and league parity, how in the world are the Patriots winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl and having this type of consistency? Explain that to us non-football guys. How are they doing this?
I'll say this. I've grown to respect the Patriots for the first time of all these years. I finally went into a game thinking the Patriots are going to be the team to win, and from the beginning to the end, I was pulling for them. And this is because they've done something that's very difficult, that is keep their ego in place. Hmm. You have two great leaders, a quarterback and a coach, that they deal with their egos and put that, submit that, because they just want to win, baby, as old Al Davis used to say. It's a culture that's very unique, and it's something that the Gruden's trying to do with the Raiders. That's why, if everybody wonders why they got rid of great talent this year, he's trying to develop a culture in which people not only respect the system, respect the coaches, and want to be part of a culture, but they'll give up whatever they have to give up to be part of it. Think about what's happened with the Patriots. Guys who've just been there 1 or 2 years can now sport a Super Bowl ring because they've had so many of them. Mm-hmm. It is an amazing process, and I have so much respect for it. And it goes back to one simple thing. We had the very first Jewish most valuable player with the Patriots, a little guy. And that shows what America is all about. It's a place where that no matter what our obstacles are, what our disabilities might be, we show up, we give our very best, and part of a team we can win. And I love that. I love what they represent, and the fact that they also have red, white, and blue. It's kind of a neat added point to that, for sure.
Burgess Owens, it is always great to talk with you. I hope we can do that again soon. Before we let you go, one more time, how can people get out and buy the new book, Why I Stand? How can they also follow you on social media so when you're not on the Weekend Report, they can still keep up with everything happening with Burgess Owens?
Well, actually, go to Amazon. You'll find Why I Stand, From Freedom to the Killing Fields of Socialism. And my website is Birdsong Talks. Of course, find me on Facebook, Birdsong Official. We're communicating continually. We on our Facebook, we have a conversation with both sides. We do it respectfully. And I love that because that's what the American way is all about, to agree to disagree and move forward and make our country great again, for sure.
Burgess, excellent. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for your time. We hope to talk to you again real soon.
Hey, guys, really a pleasure. And Tony, Chris, and Skip, great. Let's talk again real soon, okay, guys?
Will do. Thanks, Burgess. For sure. Thanks, Burgess. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Okay, guys.
All right. That is going to do it for this segment, but the Weird News Challenge is right around the corner. Skip Weber is here. Trish Gazelle from 102.5 is here, and there could be a little history made today. Very special.
I predict.
Could be a moment.
I predict I'm taking it today.
Could be a moment. And you predict that you're going to take it every week.
I know.
I'll tell you what history could be made next during the Weird News Challenge, so don't miss it. It's the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
Need another a fruity drink.
Thank you to Burgess Owens for joining us in that last segment. Don't forget, you can always, if you miss any of the interviews that we do here on the Weekend Report, we talked to Chesterfield Councilman Ben Keithley earlier about the city-county merger. We had Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller in here last hour as well. You can always download the radio.com app for free. Very cool app and so easy to use. All you do is you download the app, favorite the radio station, and then you can stream the station anytime you want, and you can listen to all the podcasts here on the radio station, all the shows, including this one, with just a tap of your finger. So easy, free, so cool. Check it out, radio.com app. Your microphone is on. You know.
Oh, sorry. Skip and I are like,
we're talking about your notes. We won't hear him.
We're talking about how you.
That's a great point.
We're talking about how you're spelling things differently, and just one line after the other, you're using different spellings of people's names.
What did I do this time?
Cruda with a T.
I messed up
Virginia.
I did that one. I did mess that one. No other ones, did I?
Well, look at one line. You have it K R U T A.
Oh no, I know
K R U D A. Is it D or a T? Come on,
it's T, not a D. It's a T. But did I do it to anybody else? I didn't do it to anybody else, did I?
Get my name right?
Well, I haven't. Yeah. You know, my name's right too. Well,
That's all that matters, really.
Exactly. All right. This is the week in. No, this is the Weird News Challenge.
Weird
on the
News Challenge.
Report. Yeah, I got it. We're here.
I feel good today.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm glad you feel good.
Don't.
I want you to
I don't
feel
either.
Good.
Mojo back. I don't know what happened to me.
So,
it's horrible. I'm shook.
Skip Weber still here in studio. Of course, he joins us every week this time. Trish Gazelle.
Wait a minute. Skip texts me.
You
I'm
now
like,
see.
At random the, times, like throughout the week, I'll get a text, and it's a 618 number. I still haven't saved your name because the 618 comes up. I know it's him trash talking me.
Yeah,
like,
I love it.
At, you know, 7 o'clock at night.
So what you're saying?
Gonna live.
So what you're saying is trash talking works.
Yes,
apparently
it definitely works.
I laugh so hard when I get those texts. I'm like, this guy is running like a, you know, a corporation,
yeah,
a gazillion-dollar corporation, and he's texting me to trash talk about the weird. It cracks
I love
me
it.
Up.
Skip's I love just, it.
Skip's competitive.
It's fun. That's fun.
You know what? He's the champ too. This could be. This, he could
I'm
make history
you,
today.
You look at the athletes and. There's a couple of the trash talkers that are terrible, but some of the best guys are trash talkers, and they're in their opponent's
Michael
heads.
Michael Jordan
was the champion,
legendary,
the king of it.
Talker.
Absolutely, absolutely. So,
Skip Weber could make history today. He's sitting on 9 victories, the most of anybody that's ever played the Weird News Challenge. He could become the very first person to be in the double digit win category.
We'll try to make sure that doesn't
happen. How many wins do I have, Tony?
You have 5.
Okay.
That's not bad. I only have 6.
Let me. You have 6.
Wow,
Trish Gazelle.
Yeah. But
Trish
I won
Gazelle.
My first 6 games.
I know,
that's
but
why
like,
it seemed like more.
Have you lost 6 games now?
I no,
bet
I think I've.
No,
no, it's more
three.
Than 3.
No, yeah, it's like 2 or 3.
No,
most.
It's more than 3.
No,
I don't think
lost
so.
Like 4.
I don't think so.
I lost to Skip twice and Dave once.
Yeah, because
I think that's it.
For me to get to 6 to tie Trish and Katie, I was not playing. I don't think I ever beat Trish until we were tied.
Well, you have nine. Yeah. She has six, so she's at least lost three.
I think that's what.
But then she lost to Dave too.
Oh,
so that's four.
I forgot about
well,
that.
Well, it's no more than that.
Okay,
it's,
I knew it was more than two.
Whatever.
Or three.
Let's not just.
I can count all my losses
anyway. Right.
And it was about four.
Yeah, it's like I only have a little bit more left to rip on you, Chris, before I'm like at the same level. So I got to do it while I can.
This is episode 31. Skip has gotten. He's nearly won a third of the games ever played, and he didn't even join the game until we were halfway through.
I do not feel good about this week. I'm thinking to myself, because like
maybe
a couple
this
of
is
times,
Chris Arps. Is,
yeah, maybe it is.
Maybe this is the day that Chris
I mean,
Arps
like, what's your deal? Like, you're just pumping him up. Can we not talk about him?
I pumped you up when you were on your 6-game winning
really?
Streak.
No, but it's not about me anymore. So we need to change the subject.
All right, let's get it. Let's get it going here.
You know, that's the thing is because whenever we do someone to love, Tony always forgets to mention the sponsor. You know,
did
when
it
we sponsor,
once.
So that's
once.
Why he's making up for it now.
One stage announcement. That was so funny that day that happened. Weird News Challenge. We can report Weird News Challenge. This is episode 31. Skip Weber has an opportunity to become the first person to ever have double-digit
victories.
Here we go victories.
Again. Jeez.
Katie Fitzpatrick rule is not in effect. Test your buzzers. Chris Skip
ding, 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 ding.
Bloop.
You might want to get a new buzzer. Maybe the bloop isn't working.
No, I changed
maybe
it that one
problem.
Time, and then I started losing, so now I'm going back to
Weber
the
had a great buzzer.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, his was a fart sound.
Yeah. That was
all right, here we go. Question number one. There was lots of weird feedback and reaction to the Super Bowl and the halftime show this week. One of the weirdest stories that came from that halftime performance had to do with the Maroon 5 singer Adam
bloop,
Levine.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. They thought it spelled, his tattoo spelled bro with his nipple.
That is incorrect.
Oh, I know it.
Performance had to do with the Maroon 5 singer Adam Levine and his tattoos. What did people across the country say his torso tattoos looked like?
Oh.
Now you know it. Should have listened. What did people say that Adam Levine's tattoos on his torso looked like? You want to take a shot at it? Nope.
No Super Bowl
points.
Coverage.
You know it now?
No, I don't think I do.
A Chipotle bag.
Oh.
No, a Chipotle bag.
I vaguely heard
a
that
Chipotle
one. The nipple
bag.
One was a bigger
yeah, people
story.
Were
from the restaurant Chipotle?
From the restaurant Chipotle. They were putting up pictures of their bag next to his tattoos, and they did sort of look similar.
That's the first
you saw
I heard
those, right?
That this week.
No?
But what I was talking about, he has a BR, and then it's his... Can
right.
you say that word?
I would nipple?
I've said it three times.
You didn't say nipple?
Yeah, so they thought that looked like an O, and then it spelled out
I wouldn't. I wasn't looking at his chest that hard.
I was at Disney on Ice.
There you go. Nice. Nice.
No Super Bowl for me.
Yeah, I wasn't paying much attention either. Okay, question number two. Groundhog Day was this week. Did Punxsutawney Phil see his
ding,
shadow?
Ding, 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 ding. He did not.
He did not see his shadow. That is correct. Skip Weber on the
so
board.
So that means
one point.
Weird. Wait,
hold on. Hold on.
Winter.
Hold on. Oh.
No.
Question number three. He didn't see his shadow. What does that mean? Will spring come early, or will there be six
ding,
more
ding,
weeks
ding,
of
ding,
winter?
Ding.
Skip Weber.
Six more weeks of winter.
Bloop.
That is incorrect.
Early spring.
Spring will come early.
What
that is correct.
I thought it was
I
want to
ask what's weird about that.
I guess
not
it was
weird news.
Was it the Alton groundhog that there was like a local one that I guess
there's
pretty
like,
long.
There's like a dozen of them.
Yeah, there was one. There was one locally. Lives. One locally that predicted longer winter.
So does that mean we each get a point here?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because you got one of the questions and he got one of the questions.
You
all right.
Squirreled into that. No pun intended on that.
I knew it when you were. I didn't know that was a question.
It's a 50-50 thing. And as soon as I was wrong,
no, you started saying it, and then he butt in and said, "No, wait, that's a question." So I held off so I could get the point.
1-1.
Your trash talking is very poor.
Wow, trash talking the trash talk.
I can't say what I want to say right now. So I'm
trash talking the trash talk.
We can turn the mics off if we need to. All right, question. This is the last question.
Am
but
I still
it
in?
Is a, yeah, because it is a 10 oh,
okay.
point. There's 10
so
possible points on the line for this one.
Ah, okay.
All right, question number four. Last question. We'll go to tiebreaker if we have to. You guys know how this works. A new study asked people to name their biggest dating deal breakers. 1 point for each one that you can name. So, go ahead.
Bad breath. That's got to be on there. Come on.
It is.
Oh.
Is it hygiene or bad breath?
It's hygiene, but that's good enough for me.
I just wanted to know in case
bad
I wanted to guess.
Bad hygiene is one of the is one, and so Chris has a point.
How about bad table manners? Come on. Come on. Come on.
No.
Bloop.
No, I can't do it.
God.
not having a job?
Yes. That could be a deal breaker.
That is not
a not a deal breaker, not having a job?
If you can get one, you win. If you can get one, you win.
Let me just say that this is not
biggest
my real answer. I'm making a joke first.
Okay.
I'm going to say, showing up for your date wearing blackface.
Yes, that would be a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker.
That would certainly be a deal breaker.
I'll give you 5 points on that
one. Unless you're in Virginia.
Unless
then I think
Virginia.
It would be okay.
Or elected official
apparently
in Virginia.
That's okay in Virginia.
Could I please have the question again?
You may. A new study asked people to name their biggest dating deal breakers. 1 point for everyone you could name. Chris got the only one so far, which was bad hygiene. Yes, or bad breath, bad hygiene. What are the other things?
How about, how about political affiliation?
That is number 10. That is correct. Different political views. And you know that's a new one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
if this
exactly.
study would have been done 5 years ago,
this
exactly
would not be on
How
here.
Can
exactly
not having a job not be a dating deal breaker?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not.
How about the...
You want to? I mean, you've already won, but you want to just kind of rub some in here?
The kind of car you drive when you don't drive a Chevrolet. That was my biggest one.
Good ones.
Here's the other... Number one... Untrustworthiness, mm-hmm. not being trustworthy.
That's
two,
the same as not driving the Chevrolet.
Yeah, anger issues was number two. Number three was bad hygiene, which Chris got. Number four, rudeness. Number five, selfishness. Number six, laziness. Number seven,
laziness is
that's not the same.
Wait, seven. Didn't he say manners?
Table manners. So
yeah, there's not on here.
That's I mean,
seven.
Didn't he say...
I said manners. Table.
He said table manners. Seven, bad sense of humor, not funny. Eight, neediness. Nine, lots of credit card debt.
Oh, yeah.
You should have went to the judges on laziness and not having a job. That's very... I know I'm helping her out,
we'll
but that's kind of...
No, I don't think that's the same thing. Nope. Honestly, I would love the point, but...
A lot of people with jobs are still lazy.
Skip Weber has won.
A lot
of
people without jobs
that's
are
true.
Not lazy, too.
Skip Weber has won for the 10th
I know.
Time.
We've heard about it.
He
like,
has nearly won a third.
You just pumped him up.
I know. Well, he deserves it.
Never he's, playing again.
It seemed like just yesterday there was three of you tied at six, and he's now at 10.
Yes.
Ugh. Let's do the tiebreaker just because I wrote it, so I don't want to waste it. Doesn't matter what happens here, but it's for the fun, right? Based on how often you hear people complaining about their job, you'd think that 100% of people are miserable at work, but is that the actual truth? According to a new survey, what percentage of Americans say they are happy at their job?
67.
What percentage of Americans think they're happy at their job? Trish 67. 67%.
Skip, I'll say 62.
62%.
50.
88%.
Wow.
88%. That includes...
100% of the people in this room are happy with their
job. That is correct.
Yeah.
That includes more than one out of six people who say they're elated with their job. The happiest workers generally have good relationships with their boss, feel strongly connected to the company's mission, work at diverse places, take longer lunches, and like to go to social events like happy hours with their coworkers. I agree with all those but that last one.
I am not happy today because I lost the skip again, but other than that, I like my job.
You're on a straight losing.
I love my job.
All right, that is going to do it for another edition of the Weird News Challenge. Are you even going to keep playing?
I don't. Probably not. I'm going to have to think about it. This is ruining the rest of my weekend. Thanks a lot.
Well, Trish, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
we
you.
Certainly
thanks for
appreciate
having
it.
Me, I guess.
It is Trish Gazelle from 102.5. Thank you very much as she exits the studio. Don't go anywhere. We got to take a break, but the Weekend Report continues on. Skip Weber's going to stick around. We'll talk to Skip more next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Wait. There it is. Chris got up. He stood up to do it. You know, that's Perry Woods, of course. He is the soundtrack of the Weekend Report, all Perry Woods music. However, for the first time ever, I think that maybe we should have played a different song. Tina Turner's Simply the Best after another victory.
Absolutely.
From Skip Weber in the Weird News
or
Challenge.
Or you could have Jason Nelson come in and sing We Are the Champions.
There you go.
We are the champions.
Just wrapped up another exciting edition of the Weird News Challenge. Skip Weber's dominance is now undeniable.
And I got a point,
undeniable.
So it was exciting. Huh? I got a point.
You did. So, yes. You had it. You were there.
Well, I wouldn't say all that, but I got a point.
You were there. You were there at the end. You were there at the end a couple weeks ago, too.
I would go so much to say as Chris's point was way more legitimate than Trish's. Trish came in on the back end of a 50-50 answer, you know.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, whereas he went out and got a real point.
I went out and did it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you missed the Weird News Challenge or you want to hear it again because it's that good, don't forget you can always download the Radio.com app absolutely free, and you can listen to the station on that app, and you can download all the podcasts from all the shows here on the radio station, including the Weekend Report, absolutely free, all of it. And just go and get the app, and you can hear this whole show again or anything.
And I will go on to say that I will not be playing next week.
Oh, another week off. Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe Dave will come back.
This time tomorrow, I will be relaxing in sunny St. Lucia.
Oh, that's nice. Good for you. So, that's excellent. Yeah. Glover was here last week when you were out.
Right.
Got a victory over Trish Gazelle. And I thought he was going to go head to head with you this week, and it was going to be a four person.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I like Dave. I consider him a very good friend. I think he's a marvelous host. But it sounds starting to sound to me like he's a little scared.
He's dodging you.
Yeah,
I think he's dodging you.
You know, Skip the Tan was just about wearing off from the last vacation. So about time for another one.
My time off is very weighted toward the beginning of the year this year. We got some stuff planned, and now I got something else planned in March too, and it's all kind of pushed up to this year. So yeah, I know I take probably too much time.
I'm just joking.
That's what I can do when I got really good people working.
There you go.
That's the point. Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening at Weber Chevrolet right now?
You know, last year, a lot of people called it the year of the crossover. I don't know if people know this. I mean, everybody still, lots and lots of people still drive cars. That's the deal. But as far as what's being sold new, cars are going way down. Last year, more than 50% of the vehicles purchased new in the country were crossovers. Not truck category, because crossover is in the truck category, but crossover vehicles.
Wow.
Which for the Chevrolet brand is the Trax, Equinox, and Traverse. Mm-hmm. And Equinox has taken over as the number one crossover in St. Louis and possibly the country. I haven't looked at the national numbers, but it's our number one seller. We sell more Equinoxes than Cruises now.
Doesn't surprise me.
And I mean, they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful vehicles. So I say that because I don't see any reason why 2019 is not going to repeat as a year of crossover.
Right.
I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And we now have a new one, Chevy Blazer.
Yes.
Blazer has a history. Has a history of being a big SUV, a big rugged SUV.
Yeah.
This is not the case. This is between the sizes of the Equinox and the Traverse. But it is very cool. It's very, very awesome fun to drive.
Yeah.
Great gas mileage. It's a really, really nice. It's a very good utility vehicle. Bigger than an Equinox if you need more room. But not quite as good a gas mileage.
Right.
But it's brand new, and we've started selling our first ones. But please check that out. It's something. It's worth looking at.
I saw it for the first time just a couple weeks ago, and I, like I'm sure everybody else, had the old Blazer that you were just talking about pictured in my head.
Right.
And I was thinking, like, okay, what's going to be the sort of modern look of that? But it's not really that at all.
No, it's its own.
And it is cool.
And it's technologically brilliant. I mean, everything's very techie inside it. It's like being on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Right.
It's more technology than the 1960s Starship Enterprise had. You know?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Exactly.
It looks cool.
Waiting for the teleporter to start.
Right.
It's really nice.
2019 is going to be the year that the Columbo family is forced to get at least one vehicle because my daughter is turning 16. And I think my wife has got the itch as well. And I think Equinox and Blazer are going to be like number one
mix.
And two that she's going to be looking at.
Yeah.
Because
I would recommend the Trax for your daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
The Trax as the first vehicle is great. It's more secure than ever. Not just a hair less of gas mileage, but still way better gas mileage than anything we ever drove when we were that age.
Sure.
I mean, well over 30. And so, you know, same price range.
If I would have had a Chevy that the Trax there that you guys have now, when I was 16, it would have been, I would have had the best car out of anybody in our group. Yeah.
And they're super, super nice. Same price as a Cruze. So that's a neat thing about
it. They are really nice. I don't really usually like to get too political in this segment when we're talking with you, but there was big news this week in the state of Illinois where three of your four dealerships, two of the Chevy dealerships, and of course Weber Ford is in Granite City in Illinois, the minimum wage is on the fast track in the state of Illinois to be going from, I think, $8.25 an hour to $15 an hour. I think they're one more vote away. It went through one committee and then got passed in the Senate. I think it's one House vote away from passing, and it will pass. And then the governor is, J.B. Pritzker, has already said that he is very anxious to sign that bill into law. I think he wants it done by the end of this month. So it looks like $15 minimum wage is coming to the state of Illinois. Just speaking as a business owner, Virginia Cruda was here a little bit earlier in the first hour, and she has a family bakery. Cruda, you know, we've talked about the Cruda Bakery many times on this show and on this radio station. They've been there for 100 years in Illinois, and she said, you know, a small business with a couple dozen employees, when this minimum wage increase happens, it could be a real problem for us. Mm-hmm. Just speaking as a business owner in Illinois, how much does the new minimum wage affect you?
It will be devastating.
Yeah.
It would clobber us.
See, I hate that. I hate to hear that, but that's what I expect to hear.
I honestly don't think I have anybody making the current minimum wage. If I do, they are part-time.
Yeah.
None of the people.
But you could have people working $10 an hour, $11 an hour, $12.
$14 an hour, you know. And we're very, very proactive in giving people raises. We're good merit based. I mean, you get what you earn and you go forward with that. And it'll crush us because we can't afford it. I have since 2012, I have increased my employee base by 120 employees.
Wow. I'm
very, very, very proud of that.
Yeah.
And that the only time we did not grow consistently was right after the Obamacare mandate came out, mm-hmm. because it changed my health care costs so badly that I had to slow down. Mm-hmm. This will kill it. I don't plan on letting people go, but I don't know how we're going to afford it. I really, really don't know how we can afford to jump that personnel cost up that much. Now, here is the other thing that I don't know if anybody else has addressed yet. What am I supposed to do with my 3 and 5 year union contracts where entry level people are at a certain level? We have signed both sides of this and collective bargaining, and I have lots of people, Teamsters and machinists, that are making less than $15 an hour for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, and a contract.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Negotiated and signed.
That's right. Yeah. What am I supposed to do with that?
What would you say to proponents of the minimum wage that say, well, if we raise it to $15 an hour, that's across the board for all employers, so all employers' costs are going to go up, which should make it not as competitive for everyone.
I've never based anything I did on other people. I really don't. I don't base my pricing by looking at other people. I don't base my, you know, I don't care about the profitability of my stores versus others. I know I make less money than most other dealers per store. I mean, that's why we get more stores. That's why, you know, here we do. We took a decision that we do our things in service and in sales for customer first, employee second, profits third. Okay, but my profit can't be zero.
Right.
My profit can't be negative. Right. I can't sit there and say, and I'm not going to say that necessarily in any given month my profit would be zero. You know, if we sell more cars for some reason, we might make the same amount of money with the higher expense. But my point is we always are trying to keep our expenses reasonable and level.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, you can ask my employees, I have no turnover. We pay our people right.
Right.
And under that system, nobody's complaining, yet I have tons of people who will be elevated to more money. Right.
You know what?
If they're not complaining, why do they need to have the $15 an hour?
And
it's not sustainable.
You bring up a really interesting conundrum that I think many business owners are going to find themselves in, and I'm probably not telling you anything that you don't know here, but you just said that you don't have maybe any employees or just a couple at the current minimum wage, but you do have employees that make $10 an hour, $12 an hour, $14 an hour, and there's a reason that one job is a $10 an hour job and one job is a $13 an hour job.
Right.
But now they're all going to be making minimum wage. That's not how it works
either. If I have a very talented person.
So you have to move up. You have to get, you know, you can't, if the guy who currently makes $10 an hour doing a job that's not as important or a big a deal as the guy making $13 an hour, and that's why he makes three more dollars an hour, you can't just put them both at the $15
right.
minimum wage.
If I have
so
a very talented person,
raises.
A very talented person that's making $2 an hour more than the person next to them for a reason,
yeah,
that person is going to want $2 more an hour.
Yeah.
And
rightfully
so. And I might have to say no. And I'm not saying that they're going to necessarily leave.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is I go from a happy workforce to unhappy workforce.
Right.
Even if they're making more money.
Minimum wage increases are not the blessing to the American worker like it's sold, at least in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it does not because it can actually hurt
Tony,
workers.
One possible solution for me and anybody else is cut staff.
Yeah.
I mean, if I go to
right.
if I'm going to give somebody $12 an hour to $15 an hour, I can say, "Okay, you're making $15 an hour, now you're working 10-hour days."
Yeah.
You're going to work 10-hour days because we have less people. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to do that. We are trying to study this. That's just one. That's the initial knee jerk, but I guarantee you it will happen.
Oh, I'm.
I guarantee
you
it will happen.
Some businesses
lots
are going to do that.
Places.
Yeah, they're going to.
Either that, or we say, okay, all you people that are full time, you're now working 30 hours a week, and you're part time people, and you're not going to be under that. If part time people have to still be minimum wage like that, then do you take away other benefits to pay for it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's interesting.
I don't know what the answer is. We're studying it, and it's going to devastate.
No,
a lot
thanks
of
for
it.
That information, though. It's really interesting stuff. Skip Weber, he can talk business, of course, and he can just dominate the Weird News Challenge.
Yes,
he's got it
and
all.
He's doing that.
That's going to do it for another edition of the Weekend Report. For our producer Ryan Wiggins, my partner Chris Harps,
yes.
Of course Skip Weber. Thank you for being in. I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Weekend Report. We'll see you back here at 5 o'clock next Saturday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thanks for listening to FM News Talk 97.1.